Mr. Simpson, I was just going through your garbage, and I couldn't help overhearing that you need a babysitter. Of course, being a highly skilled attorney, my fee is $175 an hour.
We pay $8 for the night, and you can take 2 popsicles out of the freezer.
3.
2.
Okay, 2. And I get to keep this old birdcage.
Done.
Still got it.
Hello, and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, Happy New Year!
And a Happy New
How
Year!
How the hell are you?
I am very well, Terry, very well. How are you?
I too am well.
Glad to hear it.
I hope you had a lovely festive period.
I did, it was lovely. Christmas was good, Joni got a lot of toys. The cat even got some toys.
Yeah. And what about old Andy? Did Andy get some toys?
Old Andy Bandy. I did actually. I got some Bluetooth headphones, which I had never had before.
Nice.
Not only have I not been a headphone man, I've never had the pleasure of a Bluetooth wireless
Hold
situation.
On.
Yes.
Not been a headphone man.
No, I had one pair of headphones before. But
what do you listen to your podcasts all on when you're not in the car?
I listen to them in the car or I listen to them with earphones, but the big headphones I've never really, you know.
Sorry, you mean cans.
Yeah, excuse me, yes, the industry term. Yeah, I've never been a cans man. So that's been great, especially in the gym. Like,
nice.
Running around with no phone in my pocket and not worrying about the wire catching off. So it's a game changer.
No phone in your pocket, how far does it reach?
Well, I could put it on the floor or on the treadmill. Little
okay, thing, yeah, you know. Yeah. I get you.
But so that's been good. And New Year's been good. How about yourself?
Yeah, it was great. It was quiet, which was nice. First one as a married man.
Hello.
It wasn't any different, really. Faye got me a record player with a...
Ooh.
That like links up wirelessly to your Bluetooth speakers and stuff like that. Like, or if you have a sound bar or anything like that.
Holy
like,
shit.
Yeah, game changer.
Yeah.
And I got some other nice stuff, some books and shirts and clothes and stuff like that. Like, usual.
Nice.
Very happy. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm like, they basically said, get me a book that is to do with TV or film or something like that. And then, you know, a nice shirt or something, and I'm happy out. New shaving soap as well. So fancy Dan shaving soap.
I tell you what, I got some. I'll tell you what I got. I got some because you know, as lads, we would tend to get like you know the Lynx set or something or like shower gel galore.
Didn't get one this year.
Yeah, that's disappointing. Yeah. I got some like. Shower like foam, you know, it's like the foam you'd almost use to shave, but it's like a shower gel. I don't think I can go back now.
Okay,
I feel so clean, it covers so much without trying to get into specifics.
There's a change,
and I also got some. Where do you stand on beard oil or anything for your beard?
Well, now here's the thing because I don't particularly like, I've been given like beard oil before and I hate the feel of it on my beard, but I was given, that was lovely, a beard and face wash.
L'Oreal Expert for men. I got the same one.
It's
actually good.
The cedarwood thing.
Yeah.
It's really good, yeah.
And
you get like,
the smell is good.
There's like a soap dispenser and then the other one.
I got the exact same
kit. It's like a conditioner. Yeah.
Love it.
Very good.
Yeah. I normally never put stuff in my beard because it sort of feels a bit, I don't know, greasy or...
That's good, but it's, you know, it's a face wash as well, so it gets everything in there.
I like it.
We're grown up.
This is it. Well, listen, this is it.
Did you watch plenty of Christmas movies?
You know what? I didn't.
Ooh.
I didn't really, you know what? It was actually one of the best Christmases, you know, that I think I've had in a while. But I didn't feel very Christmassy at all this year. You know what I mean?
No, it snuck up on everybody, yeah. I think.
I kind of, the next thing I knew, it was like, oh, we're off work this week and it's Christmas Eve in a few days. And you're kind of like, oh, you know, but I watched the only movie that I will be guaranteed to watch every single year is Jingle All the Way.
I watched it.
Yeah.
God, it's awful, but like.
It is awful. I just like can't stop though.
I was sitting there watching it with Faye, and it was like that scene where he's chasing the rubber ball.
I know.
And like, he's like trying to cost that child. I was like, it's not even a guarantee of like him winning a Turbo Man. It's like 1 in 500. And he's like,
and all the whole Turbo Man, you know, where he's like, where he's asking your man for a Turbo Man, and your man's like, yeah. It's only the most popular toy ever.
Yeah, if anything, and like I think that's the guy from 30 Rock.
Yeah, he's Dr. What's his name in?
Leo Spaceman. Dr. Spaceman.
Dr. Spaceman.
Dr. Leo Spaceman.
What a great show 30 Rock was.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, man.
Let
me tell you, Terry, I'm delighted to see that you're now on Twitter, personally.
I am.
That's right, I'm blowing it up publicly.
Yeah.
Follow the boy, Tony.
Feel free, I'm not going to be posting much, but I've always been on Twitter, and now I installed it on my phone.
I noticed, I don't want to air our dirty laundry in public, Terry, but I'm following you. You're following the podcast. You're not following me back, Terry. And I
didn't want to bring this up on the podcast, but Faye has shown me some of your tweets, and it's not the Andy Cantwell I know. That's what I will say about it. You seem to have created this online persona that, quite frankly, I don't care for.
This is everything I feared.
You opened this door, my friend.
Oh, man. Follow me. I need the followers. I'm putting out good stuff.
You need the followers. Fine. Whatever. I don't know what it... Does that mean you're worth more as a Twitter user if you have more people following you?
Yeah, I could do with the likes, Terry.
I won't be giving you any likes.
Give me the likes.
No, I'm not going to be using it that often. Like,
I use Twitter to crack wise when I have what I think is a funny observation. If you want to see more of my hilarious tweets, it's at Andy Cantwell. Feel free to give me a follow if you follow the podcast. Try another follow my way.
What's your name? What's your name on it?
It's Andy Cantwell.
No, how original.
Excuse me. See, I save my witticisms for the tweets that I put out. Anyway, speaking of Twitter, Terry, we had some high profile following this week. None other than Irish Simpsons fans have started following on Twitter, which I must say, when I seen that
they
pop
came
up, I was
crawling
like,
back. Huh?
No, you're thinking a quote of the day.
I am.
But yeah, well, I mean, I love our. I mean, we both do. I mean, I think everybody loves our Simpson fans. It's the sole reason I have Facebook, basically, and Twitter. Basically, they just take sort of the best bits and stick it on Twitter and stuff like that. But yeah, delighted to get that. We had some. I posted that we were doing the episode, Marriage on the Lamb. And we had people saying like their favorite bits, you know, we were asking what's people's favorite bits. And one was, again, a lot of Lionel Hutz, who was also in Jingle All the Way. Like just Hutz babysitting, where he's like, you know, say hello to Miguel Sanchez. And then we had another tweet just there, just before we started recording, from Chris O'Connor, saying thank you very much for reinforcing Disco Tex and his Sexolettes Get Dancing. Did not appreciate its excellence enough as a teenager, which I totally agree with, to be honest.
I love that song. And it's weird that, like, It's what? It's in like two episodes? Maybe three? Yeah. Like, I remember the one that always made me, and I probably talked about it before, but it's such a small moment. It's just Homer driving to pick up Grandpa at Thanksgiving. And it's like, it's a kind of a, you wouldn't see the scene really. It's almost like something out of an indie movie, I find. Because it's just following him in the car, and he's listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And it's the kids from Hooray for Everything doing that song. And he's just sitting there.
I remember him doing it, yeah.
He just starts getting into it, and he's like tapping his finger or doing a little dance while he's like driving the car.
See,
and I remember just thinking to myself, like, there's no joke there, but it's really funny. Like, just watching him enjoy himself. Yeah. Yeah.
See, when you first, because it was yourself who suggested that we use that as the outro theme or whatever. When I first heard it, I was like, yeah, sure. But with every listen, I'm just getting more and more. And now I'm just like, yeah, here it comes. Right. So stick around.
Yeah. Oh, well, we haven't used it since we've started doing season 5. That's true, so anyway.
You may hear, I will just say now, you may hear my cat in the background. She is currently in heat. And
oh, we're in the cat podcast. Brilliant. well, my cat has just been neutered and he's no energy. He's curled up on the couch beside me here.
Is that what happens?
No, because he was a ball of energy last night, fucking going crazy. We were trying to put the cone on his neck so he wouldn't be near his stitches or anything like that.
He
kept getting out of it or like just like running around the place. Like, so the first day they're kind of mad.
Yeah.
I think because you're getting them back because they've been overnight. But then he's just been like wrecked today.
Yeah.
He punched himself out.
You see, I called the vet today and they said, okay, we can leave her in the morning and we can actually get her back that day. So I was like, all right, great. And but like, I'm so new to the cat world. I've never been a cat person. So when she started like yowling last week, I was like, what is wrong with her? Mm. And then, you know, we basically
had I remember being there in bed with my old cat that was a female. And me and Faye both showed up and we were like, like, what the fuck is that? And it was like, it wasn't her, it was a cat outside that could smell her.
No way.
Yeah, it was just like he was going crazy for her or whatever. Jesus. Like that. Like,
isn't that mental? Yeah, like, so, I'm trying to explain it to like Joni. I'm like, Arlo's looking for a boy cat. Just trying to keep it as PC as possible. But so anyway, yeah.
She's looking, she's DTF, Joni.
So yeah, if you hear a noise, that's what's going on behind me.
Well, that seems to be most of the housekeeping out of the way, Andy.
Now that we've got the chit-chat out of the way, can I hit you with some facts and trivia?
Please.
Well, let me tell you, Terry. It finished 32nd in the ratings for week of November 1st, 1993, with a Nielsen rating of 13.1, equivalent to 12.2 million viewing households, and was the highest rated show on Fox, beating Beverly Hills 90210.
So 12.2, and that was like 32nd in the ratings. Jesus,
I know, right? Like,
it's crazy.
What, like, you'd wonder what was number one. I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, when you think even like what the Seinfeld finale a few years later got, what, 50 million? Was it something like that?
Really? Is that all? I would have thought actually more. Like,
I can't remember. It was some mental number anyway. It was...
When we're doing the Signcast podcast, we'll
we'll cover that. It was written by Bill Canterbury and directed by Mark Kirkland, who, interestingly, you know the character where he's like, your man is like, I always get what I want.
Yes.
He is actually a caricature of Mark Kirkland.
Now, I'm going to correct you there, Andrew.
Bollocks.
Because, first of all, it's the guy next to him. So you know that there's two guys?
I thought you didn't know any of these facts. I see my mistake already. Go on.
It's the guy next to him. And it's a caricature of showrunner David Merkin. It's a new year, new me. I got my facts right here.
It's all I have. Right, it's all I bring into this.
Yeah. Let's go. Give me the next one.
That's about it.
Really?
Well, I will tell you this, Terry, and I'll tell you no more, that the authors of our favourite book, I can't believe it's a bigger and better updated unofficial Simpsons guide, said that Marge letting her hair down is always a treat, and in Ruth Powers she seems to have a real friend, a pity we don't see more of her. Which I did also think, I mean, they seem to really form a bond in this episode. It was a bit odd that you just, you know, I wouldn't say never see her again, but you know, very rare.
You only see her again as in a speaking role once.
Yeah.
And it's 10 years later in 2003.
Jesus.
In The Strong Arms of the Ma, which is when Marge becomes a powerlifter or a bodybuilder or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. Yeesh. Not a great one.
The AV Club named Homer's line, "Stupid TV, be more funny," as one of the quotes from The Simpsons that can be used in everyday situations. Which...
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else would be on that list. Well, I'm sure loads of things. No. To be honest,
well,
I mean,
there's loads that we use.
I was just going to say, I use Simpsons references every day.
Yeah.
And,
at least once a day.
And, I mean, hello, Kat. I don't have much more, Terry, I'll be honest with you, so please give me something else.
I just have a couple of little ones. That Crystal Buzz Cola is a parody of the Crystal Pepsi.
Oh, right.
That was released in the early 90s to not very widespread acclaim. I have... Oh, here's one. Remember the waitress holding the waffles together?
Yeah.
The good waffles stick together, is the same waitress that gave Homer the placemat when they were going to Aunt Gladys's funeral in Selma's Choice.
Huh.
Another placemat, sir? It's like, please.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know. The
end of the show is a reference to Dragnet, the cop show.
Never heard of it, mate.
In 1951. No. What about the Tom Hanks movie of the same name? Him and Dan Aykroyd remade the movie in the 80s.
What?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's not bad.
I'd watch
like,
that.
Tom Hanks is like the young wild cop, and Dan Aykroyd is the it's just the facts, man. You know that.
Yeah.
Talk like this. In fact, they're in the episode of The Simpsons when Homer's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Is around those two characters where he's like, you haven't been yourself since your son went crazy and killed all those people. Like, it's a pain that never ends. That's Dragnet. Like, those are the two characters from Dragnet.
I'm learning so much.
And I think that's all I have there. Oh, and except for it is the final episode to feature Conan O'Brien as a credited producer before he left for his show.
End of an era.
End of an era.
Did you watch? I see on Netflix there's a Conan show, Conan Without Borders. I don't know if you've seen any of the episodes.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I just caught. I noticed it today.
Yeah, it's funny. Like
I want to get. Is that the one where he's in Japan?
Yeah, I think that's one episode. Yeah, he's in Japan.
Yeah,
I mean, but one thing. I mean, like he's absolutely hilarious. But he's such a creep around women. It gets uncomfortable for a while. Like any time he's talking to a woman, he's like, you know, getting just too handsy or like barking at them and all.
Really?
Yeah, and like you could tell some of them are just not comfortable with it at all, or like, you know, it's just. But I mean, like, it's still hilarious. But there's a few times where I've watched it where he's like, Jesus, Conan, like. Surprise is not.
Tone it down.
Yeah.
Cone it down.
Cone it down.
Huh?
That's what you tune in for, folks.
Yeah, that's it right there. We're done.
Shall we get into the episode proper, as you might say?
Let's do it.
Well, sir, it has been an uneventful week in Badger Falls, where the women are robust, the men are pink-cheeked, and the children are pink-cheeked and robust.
What the hell's so funny?
At the Apple Biscuit Cafe, where the smiles are free, don't you know? Sven Enquist studied the menu, and finally he ordered the same thing he has every day.
Maybe it's the TV.
But TV, B be more funny.
Well, sir, I think it is time to turn this pledge drive over to Troy McClure. I can't keep up this pace forever.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember me from such telethons as Out With Gout 88 and Let's Save Tony Orlando's House. Folks, do you realize without your support, public television can't afford to bring you such award-winning shows as Edward the Penitent?
I'm really, really, really sorry.
I'm afraid sorry doesn't cut it with this Pope.
What the hell? Oh, we got a call.
Some idiot actually called in.
Hello, what's your name?
Marge Simpson.
Ah!
I'd like to pledge $30. Oh, thank you.
Marge, it's public TV. They never have anything good. Where are the Geraldos? Where are the Eubankses?
They need our support. Besides, they gave me 2 tickets to the ballet.
The ballet?
Woohoo!
You like ballet?
Marjorie, please. I enjoy all the meats of our cultural stew. Ballet. All right. Woohoo! Yay! Yeah!
Can I just say, I love this intro.
We do.
And I never, well, I still don't really know what it is. I know what it is, like, parodying. It's a thing called a prairie home. It's a prairie home companion, where it's just this guy that used to sort of to read his stories, deadpan like that, or do a monologue kind of thing. I've never seen it or anything like that. I've just heard about it. But that's what it was on public access TV or whatever like that. Like, but I just love how, like, the wording of it, where it's like, the women are robust, the men are pink-cheeked, and the children are pink-cheeked and robust.
I love the fact that, like, the audience is cracking up and they're all just sitting there. Yeah. Like we
like,
are.
What is this? Like, he studied the menu, finally ordered the same thing he has every day. And he's like, I love how he's like, I can't keep up this pace forever. The deep sigh. Like,
I was a fan of course, Troy McClure. But first of all, interesting factoid, Let's Save Tony Orlando's House is the name of a Yola Tango song. So there you go. But also, I don't know why I always think of this one where he's like, I'm really, really, really sorry. I'm afraid sorry just cut it with this boat. Nobody yeah. does the pulling of the collar better than the Simpsons.
I thought that was great, and I really liked it when the phone rang. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, oh, we got a call. Like, and I noticed that it was $23 was what was on the pledge drive. That's all that was there.
Quality.
So Marge has doubled their money.
I mean, I almost wish that we had those sort of shows or those sort of channels here, you know? Just public access.
I'd love to, like, if there was a pledge drive.
You know,
on, I'd tune in.
You know what? This is slightly off topic, but it just reminds me of, like, a public access style. I started watching, I seen this on Netflix, that, you know, your man Bob Ross, the painter, you know, we're going to paint a happy little tree here and all that sort of stuff. I started watching it. It's actually really good, you know, just for some sort of mindless paint viewing. But it's so cheaply made. And he just, I mean, I wish we had more stuff like that, public access-y.
And I like how Homer, well, I think if when he says Eubanks is.
Yeah.
Is he talking about Chris Eubanks, the boxer?
I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I don't know who they're talking about, but it wouldn't...
You know he's talking about Geraldo, anyway, but like...
But the Eubankses, I don't...
I would have thought, just because he was... He had a couple of big fights around that period.
In 93?
Big title fights.
Yeah, I suppose he did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then I love how Homer is like... Because it's quite well, there's a lot in the clip, but like Homer, when Marge is surprised he likes the ballet, he's like, I enjoy all the meats of our cultural stew.
Yeah.
And then you see the thing And just when it cuts back to him, like, it's, you know, imagining the bear. First of all, the bear driving the car is fantastic, I think. Like, I loved it as a kid because it's, you know, it's a funny image. But, like, as an adult dissecting it, this is what Homer is entertained by. Like, imagine just going to what, like, I'm going to pay money to go watch this thing. Like,
and he's excited about it.
Yeah.
And
but, like, I love when it cuts back. He's like,
but like, what I didn't get is, like, is he confused? Like, is there something that sounds like ballet? You know, like, is that even a thing, or did he just assume?
See,
you know, that's
what I don't know either.
It's like, did he just make it up in his head? Like, oh, like, this must be what she means, and that's the first thing that came to his mind, or is it a thing? You know what I mean?
I don't think it is a thing, but like, I'm not sure. Yes. So after the clip ends, Ruth Powers. Now here's a problem I have with it. She comes to the side door, right?
Yeah.
But she rings a doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
And there's never been a doorbell at that side door in The Simpsons. Not that I can ever remember.
Well, I sure hope somebody got fired for that one.
Hashtag not my Simpsons side room doorbell.
So you're already getting the Twitter lingo.
I was using it ironically. And I like this couple of gags. I knew they were coming, but they still got a smile out. And he's like, "If you had," she wants to know if there's a power sander. Homer just has one there, his feet,
and it's
it, like,
on, and it's shredding up the carpet.
He's like, "No." He's like, "There's one right there." He's like, "All right, but remember, it's mine. It's like big, like, property of Ned Flanders."
It's the joke that keeps on giving.
And then. Marge, we cut to the kitchen, and Marge is showing Homer, or maybe it's Lisa, what the ballet is. And Homer, first of all, his reaction, he's like, "That's what ballet is? No."
Like, how can you not know?
Yeah. But then Marge is saying, "No, you can't back out just like you did when you volunteered for the army experiment to avoid dinner at my sister's." And it's a great little clip of Homer, first of all, with hair, but like, showing the lengths that he would go to avoid Patty and Selma. Yeah,
straight away. Just give me the serum.
It's like, but like, and this is like classic Simpsons joke telling. It's like, here are the pins of the joke. It's like, you do realize this may result in hair loss, giddiness, and loss of equilibrium. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Give me the serum. So those are the pins. They're there. And then immediately, in the next second, they pay off that joke. Yeah. Where it's like, it was worth it. Boom.
Now,
it's like, there you go, there. He's sitting on the chair, he's bald. His equilibrium, he just falls off, and then the giggling comes out. And I remember thinking to myself, it's just like, they don't, they say, here it is, and here's the payoff, straight away, like, you know.
It would have almost been better if they'd have just brought that joke right back around 10 minutes later or something like that, you know?
I don't know, I kind of like how, for that joke there particularly,
see,
it, the quickness pays off in it for me anyway. That's what I appreciate.
I wasn't a big fan of that joke. I even took the time to write in my notes, army testing joke - no. That was my immediate thought. Oh. Because I don't know what it is. It's something about, because I didn't like him chasing the dog, and I don't like that giggling that he does. I don't know why. I just don't.
You're talking apples and oranges, though, chasing the dog. You are.
I don't care for that high-pitched sort of giggling as, like, the
fine,
joke.
Okay.
Just saying.
But that's one part of the joke.
Yeah, but the rest, I mean, I don't know. When I watched it, it was, I don't know.
The shirt, first of all, the way he looks, he's sitting up straight, and then it's just completely, like,
the way he thuds,
gone from vertical to horizontal.
The way the body thuds on the floor. I will give you. I will give you that. That was good. Yeah. But I don't, it's just like,
and then you can't. The fact that you can't even see him. It's just that noise emanating from him.
Yeah. It just didn't land for me.
Anyway, Well, any... never mind.
You just...
I guarantee, like, this is the type of joke that they'd be discussing on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And Jerry would be like, right, yeah. You set it up and you knock it down.
Excuse me. Straight away. I'm not Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know, Andy.
For the last time, I'm well not aware. Jerry Seinfeld.
I'm Andy. Nice to meet you. So, we're at the plant after work. And Homer is with Lenny and Carl. And they ask him, does he want to get a beer on his way home?
He's going to take his wife to the ballet.
Ah, gonna go see the bear and the little cow, huh?
See, that was almost what cemented, like, you know, is this a thing that I just don't know what it is?
That was, I think that's the joke, though, as well, like, that, like, Lenny's in on it as well, or Lenny thinks it is.
Yeah, I like that.
So, Homer is gonna stick it to the man. He is gonna get himself some invisible cola. And he sticks his hand in the old whatchamajigger, the vending machine.
I mean, I like the fact that when he's putting his hand through, that like you see the guy's arm just in there holding a can, well, like a skeleton arm.
Carl says, I heard somebody lost an arm in there.
Yeah.
And then there you go again. The arm is there in literally the next room, holding a can of Fresca.
There you go, you see. But, set up, punch that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like how, I don't know, how far or whatever, like, his arm is, like, stretched. He has, like, a Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, I know.
At this point, like. But then it's like how when he says he's stuck, he's like, he's done for. And the two of them, like, just leg it off and leave him there.
No help at all. Like, they're terrified, like,
And he, like, great couple of shots of like the deserted power plant, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, it looked well. I did think that too.
And he gets stuck in a candy machine, but I like actually before that happens, he's like, hello, can I get some help? Snack related mishap.
And I mean, like, what I want to know is when he gets his arms caught in both of them, how on earth does he dial the phone? Because he's just like, he calls Marge to tell her, and like he's there with both of his hands trapped and the phone is like under his ear. Like, how on earth did he get that?
It's the magic of TV. But I like you've never seen Marge wear that coat before, and it really gives the impression of, like, I don't know, like a put upon woman or a woman who's been let down loads, like that, whatever. Sort of, it's quite cheapy, furry coat, like.
And it was a nice touch, I thought, to even just have her there in the coat, you know.
Waiting, like, yeah.
I like that.
She offers the tickets to Patty and Selma. They don't bite. And she ends up going with Ruth when Ruth drops back the power sander. I like how when she hands it to Marge, like, Ruth is holding it no problem, and then she hands it to Marge, it's just, you see her hand fall down to the ground or whatever. Like,
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and you hear like a little thud.
See, you spot these like little...
Yeah, I'm watching the episode, mate. What are you doing?
I'm watching it in work. I'm distracted.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah,
tell me about it.
There's a great little bit before we get into the ballet. Did you see the sign outside?
I did. Jittery Joe's and the shaky hand. Big fan.
No, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Oh, for God's sake, I'm all over the place tonight.
Let's just call it out.
You know what? Forget it.
Andy, hello? it was the, like, tonight professional ballet.
Tomorrow closed.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
To fix gas leak. That was great.
That's,
and just because you mentioned it there. Anyone. Yeah. Oh, that and the, like, the newspaper clippings, that sort of stuff.
Those clippings are so funny.
All those clippings. Just because you mentioned Jittery Joe's, can you name the three other establishments in mention in the episode that Marge and Ruth go to.
Okay. They went to like a club.
Yeah, what was it called?
Something to do with like I'm going to embarrass myself here. Something to do with like
you're already embarrassing yourself.
Just please let me. Terry, please.
No, come on.
Something to do with like something morbid. I remember like something to do with like death or like something like that.
The club was called the Hate Box.
Death. Where was I going? The Hate Box. Yeah.
No, but you're on. Yeah. What was the name of the country and western bar they went to?
Absolutely no clue.
She mentions it as well. She mentions the name of it.
Having a clue, mate.
Shot Kickers.
Oh, yeah. That was a good joke. I like that one.
Yeah. And the last place is the diner that Marge goes to.
Yeah, I know the diner. Don't know the name.
The name is the Seething Sisters.
The Feeling Sisters.
The Seething Sisters.
Seething Sisters.
For a bonus point, because you have got zero so far. If you can give me two of the magazines on the stand in the Quickie Mart.
That's a more difficult question than the first one.
Give me one. The one that Homer picks up and reads. And I'll give you a clue. Bleeding Gums Murphy is on the cover.
Time magazine?
No, it is Jet magazine.
Well, I had one syllable. I was right about that, huh?
The other magazine was Modern Bride.
I would never know that. You know I would never know that.
Modern Bride.
You're putting me, as the kids would say, on blast.
Am I? Oh my God. So back to the episode.
Yes.
They are watching the... Okay, well, here you're a music guy, right?
Okay, yes.
The ballet was playing. What was the music that they were dancing to?
Vegetable?
It was Flaffin.
Oh, of course. Shut up.
It was the theme from Romeo and Juliet.
I would have never in a million years gotten that.
But you know the music.
No,
when
I don't.
You're sitting there, what is when it? You're sitting there, you're watching it, you know the music.
Oh, yeah, if I heard it again, yeah. But I wouldn't know it was Romeo and Juliet, though.
Wouldn't you?
No,
so,
I wouldn't.
We get Skinner and Burnsie up in the director's box.
I don't have this thing in front of me. I'll edit this.
Burnsie is saying, far too much dancing, not nearly enough prancing.
Burnsie again.
A little mincing would be nice. Burnsie's a bit fey in this episode.
I like his, like, he's just there for just a little bit, you know, just a few seconds at a time. But, like, I know we keep coming back to it. I just really didn't appreciate him as much because I had a little chuckle at, like, all of his little bits in this episode. Every time he's been on the screen lately, I'm just laughing.
Well, Little Burns goes a long way. Like, he's such a, like, at this point in his sort of Simpsons career, for lack of a better term, like, he's up there with, maybe not up there with like a Phil Hartman character, but like he's top tier of like, it's mostly all gold.
Yeah, I'd agree.
So they basically say Marge goes to go home, but Ruth says it's only 9:30 and convinces her to go out somewhere. Homer is stuck in between the two vending machines, and he thinks he's going to have these on his arm forever. And I like this little thing where it's like, love Maggie, it. First of all, Maggie still has the pacifier.
Yeah.
in her mouth getting married, and it's candy and sodas for all.
Like, he's there.
It starts flying
and,
out.
Am I correct in thinking, now this is something that I might have spotted, or else I just imagined it, but were the vending machines also wearing tuxes in this?
I think they might have been, yeah.
And the fact that, like, he's just become one with the vending machines. He's like, candy and sodas for all. And they just start coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. I like this when the guy's like, this is never easy to say, but I'm going to have to saw your arms off. And, like, first of all, it's a great response in that they'll grow back, right?
Yeah, your man straight away.
And I think to myself, yeah. But like, I think to myself, yeah, okay, it's not a normal question to ask. But at the same time, like, why don't they grow back? Like, your hair grows back.
Well,
many other organisms, their limbs grow back. What's up with us, like?
Well, do many of them grow back, or is it just, like, reptiles?
Reptiles and
mammals.
Others.
Stuff. I'm way out of my element here, to be honest. But I would have thought mammals don't, but lizards do. Some lizards do.
Maybe.
I could be talking complete pony, as they say in the States.
Who says? What? That
people
says
say it.
And I love how, like, they have the saw ready to go, like,
yeah, like they couldn't just saw the door off the vending machine or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to saw your arms off.
And it's like, are you just holding on to the can?
Yeah, I love the scene. I like or the shot of just him, like, walking out of the plant, just sort of like
walking away,
rubbing his arm, and you can hear laughter in the background. That was really well done.
And then, like, he just, like, he picks up the pace, and then eventually that just runs off. Yeah. Like,
I was a big fan of the way.
Very good.
That.
But, like, there's a great little through line here of, like, Homer's, like, your point being when, like, they ask him, is he hanging on to the can?
Yeah.
And then Ruth is like, oh, my ex-husband, all he ever did was eat, sleep, and drink beer. And Marge's like, your point being? I'm like, yeah, fucking yeah.
Well spotted.
Nailed it.
Well spotted. Nailed I will it, agree now that I am aware of what they've done, that was a good use of
set
of
it up
the joke.
Knock it out of the park.
I tell you what, it's your knowledge of The Simpsons here that gives us the right to call this a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. Terry and friend discuss Die Hard Simpsons. Terry and co.
We get a nice little bit here where Marge is trying to convince Ruth that there's a lot of good men out there, and then we get my pal Barnard Gumbel. Hey, can I show up in your bathroom? I'll buy something. Yeah. He's like holding his stomach, like, oh, Barney, come on. So Homer is at home and he has a note. He got the foreman to write him a note about the vending machines. It's like, while we were rescuing your husband, a lumberyard burned down.
Now, I did notice when I was watching this, here's something I did notice, Terry, is that as Marge is reading that note, her mouth is moving to a completely different sentence than what she actually said. You know the way they do that sometimes where they'll throw in a new line? Like from start to finish, she was clearly saying something totally different. I'd be interested to know what the original sort of thing
was. I have to go now.
My planet needs you.
So she says she had a wonderful time at Root Powers, even though she was disappointed Homer couldn't make it. In fact, they're going out again tomorrow night. I love this from Homer. He's like, that's twice. I think you're spending entirely too much time with this woman.
I did laugh at that one straight away. Like, why is that twice?
And then she says, you know how hard it is for me to make friends. And it cuts to like a clip of high tea or whatever she's having. She's having. And Homer is like, Marge, I got sprayed by this skunk. Oh, look, it's doing it again.
I love his reaction as well when he gets sprayed again, where he's like, ah, you know, like he sort of sticks his tongue out and all.
But like, I used to think, and this is how my mind worked as a child, it was like, this is like a click show equivalent, as in like that's something from a previous episode,
yeah,
that has been recycled, not a completely new clip,
right,
showing a flashback. Like, my mom's like, oh, what episode was that from? Like, that Homer had the skunk. I don't remember that episode.
It's like, I must find that.
And then when Homer's like, you can't go out Saturday night, it's a special night.
What's so special about it?
What's so... Oh, I don't know. A little show called Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman.
Did you ever actually watch that show?
No, but I know that's my... I have that reaction where it's like, it's Sunday night, Faye. We're going to watch whatever. It's like, I don't really want to watch it. I'm like, what? But it's Sunday night. It's
like Game of Thrones is ready or something.
Don't get me started on Game of Thrones and my wife.
I'd like to get you started on Game of Thrones. Tell me more.
It's just, she doesn't like it.
Does she not?
She watches it with, like, we have, like, myself, Faye, and our friend Sarah, like, always watch it together.
Yeah.
But, like, Faye at this stage has, like, not been paying attention for the last couple of seasons. She's sitting there on her phone or whatever. And she's like, I don't care. Like, and to be honest, I'm kind of done with it now. The last season was shite. Like,
did you think so?
Yeah. Like, what would normally take a season to get from, like, King's Landing to the North Wall or whatever, they're doing it within the space of an episode now. Like,
yeah, because
like,
there's no book now. They're going off road.
Yeah, also, giant, huge spoilers for Game of Thrones latest episode. So skip, we'll give you a sec.
Skip 30 seconds if you don't want to hear it.
Might be more than 30 seconds. But that fucking thing with the dragon.
Yeah. Turn.
And then, yeah, it's like, so the logistics of that.
The logistics of them pulling under the, yeah, the, pulling the, them
yeah.
Up. Yeah.
Hold on. How did they get all those people down? There was a human chain of people, a human ladder, and then hooked it up and then pulled it back up. Like, give me a fucking break.
And as they were pulling it, like, that ice would be breaking. You'd need a pulley. Absolutely, or a lever, like, or something. Like,
yeah.
Sure, somebody bollocks, got fired, like, for that one.
Stupid. What are you to believe? This is some sort of magic piece of ice.
I mean, like, on paper, I shouldn't like it because it's like, you know, dragons and, you know, swords and shit, which is like
dungeons.
Yeah, which, you know, it's not really my bag, baby.
But dragons and dungeons, huh?
And who, like, can forget right that popular heads. Game, Dragons and Dungeons. But the story, I don't know. The story just hooks me in. I forget. Every season, I forget all the plot and all the characters' names and everything. But, you know, still.
Well, that's the thing, because there's so many more. There's like, oh, that's your man from whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, you kind of have to.
Oh, that was the same guy from the beginning.
Yeah.
Why did he kill them? Was he not with them?
Who's that guy? Who's that guy? I got who's with that guy. We're breaking out a lot of Jerry Seinfeld stand-up tonight.
We really are.
Okay, so I really like this next bit where Marge is putting on her lipstick and it's like Homer is a child talking to his parent or something. Like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And when will you be home? Where are you going? Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like,
can you bring me back something?
Will you bring me back something?
And the kids are like, you know, like when she leaves the house and they're like, he's like, Homer is like such a prick.
How can you desert your children?
Using the kids, and they're like, have a blast.
Bart tells her to rock the Casbah, which means have sex.
Is that what that means?
To rock the Casbah is to get down and dirty.
Really? I did not ever do that.
Yeah. I love that as well, Homer's little line of man's best friend indeed.
I got to chuckle that one.
And then we get the infamous part. This was the ad break. I always remember this was the ad break on Sky One.
It's mad that you remember those things.
Tonight's nothing has nothing to do with nights. Tonight's all about puts in the tape.
Sunshine, lollipops, rainbow.
Oh, wrong tape. Welcome to the jungle.
Yeah, was that? I wonder. Was that when did Welcome to the Jungle come out? Well, that would have been like a recent
92.
Oh, right, so the year before.
I think it's Appetite for Destruction. It was 91 or 92. Anyway,
the album name.
I think it was Appetite for Destruction. And I wouldn't be a huge GNR man, though. I have to say.
And you're using the. You're not even saying the full name. You're on very informal terms with this band. You must know them very well.
I'm not a huge fan.
Why don't you tell me about yourself? Guns N' Roses. No, I never.
Not,
you know what?
Not my bag, baby.
I lied when I said when Terminator 2 came out, I got into Guns N' Roses very briefly, even though I was like 9. I got into them for like a week because they were playing on the radio of John Connor when he's on the moped with his little mullet-haired friend.
Is it Welcome to the Jungle?
I don't know if it's Welcome to the Jungle, no, but it's Guns N' Roses. And I just remember seeking out that song and then I found the album or whatever. But after that...
I remember a renaissance of it because it was on the GTA San Andreas soundtrack and it was on all the ads for it.
Nice.
Yeah, because that was set or whatever in the early 90s. Yeah. In LA, very much that scene, I guess. So I believe we have a bit of a clip coming our way, Andy.
We sure do, Terry. I'll tell you what, I'll say no more. Why say it, Terry, when I can play it?
I can't believe your mother went out to have fun without me.
Don't worry. You'll feel better once we put your hair up in curlers and give you a makeover, Homina.
Oh, that would be delightful. Quiet, boy. There's nothing to feel ashamed of here. Women have a right to a night out, right, Lisa?
Sure, Dad.
That's it. I'm calling my buddies. Marge is not the only one who can have a girl's night out.
Oh, no can do, Homer. I'm watching the game.
Shave up, not down, you idiot.
Ooh, sounds delish. Let me just toss some jeans on and wait a minute. Who is this?
Well, howdy doodly do. Hello? Hello. Hello, Leodley.
Fine. I can have a great time all by myself.
Hey, Dad, I think state and federal laws require us to have a babysitter.
Oh, Lisa, haven't you seen Home Alone? If some burglars come, it'll be a very humorous and entertaining situation.
You're absolutely right, Homer. We don't need a babysitter.
Wait a second.
You
kids do need a babysitter!
Bless that infernal card. Don't give that card to me.
Here you go. No!
A few highlights from this clip. One was the fact that Mr. Burns was so willing. he's there curled up. I believe there's a box of chocolates beside him or something like that.
I love his description of it. Ooh, sounds delish.
Yeah. And then it's like, wait, who is this?
Is what, like, when Homer... Yeah. Well, like, how does he have Burns' home number, first of all?
Yeah, exactly. And then the whole thing with the card, that was, I think, one of the funniest bits of the episode for me. It's just, like, written on the card. What was the exact words? Do the opposite of what Bart says.
Yeah, but... He's like, we don't need a babysitter. He's like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You kids do need a babysitter.
And even Bart's like, bless that infernal card. Like, it's not the first time the card has foiled him.
Yeah, it's like, don't give that card to me. Here you go.
that gave me a big chuckle.
But even like when he rings Burnsy, and I love the little montage of him ringing around, like, and then he rings Lenny. And
yeah.
He's like, oh, no can do, Homer. I'm watching the game. It's like, shaving his wife's legs.
Yeah.
Oh, shave up, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then finally he rings Flanders. And it's just like, when he answers,
yeah,
I'll let you do the honors. You're a good Flanders man there.
Well, haddly doodly do. Hello? Hello, Leonely.
Very good.
We have fun. We have fun at this podcast.
We do. I like that Homer has his... I don't know if it's his gig jacket. I like when he has that green jacket on. I'm a big fan of that green jacket.
Yeah. I am too. Why is that? Is it just because... I tell you why I think it is. I think it's because it suggests that there's going to be, like... You know the way we're always saying, you know, we like those episodes that are a bit different or whatever, that don't take place normally. I think, for me anyway, when I see him wear that jacket, you're sort of like, okay, you know, we're going somewhere different, a different scene.
Something is happening. Yeah,
Happening, yeah. It's the anticipation.
We get, I think it's the same jacket he wears, or maybe he doesn't wear it. I'm thinking of the gummy Venus de Milo, but I think I might be mistaken there.
I think it's different. Yeah. I could be wrong.
But we get a old ring of the doorbell, and you might have heard at the top of the episode, it's your old buddy, Lionel Hutz.
Mr. Simpson, I was going through your garbage and couldn't help overhearing that you need a babysitter. The fact that he's so audacious, like, my fee is $175 an hour.
I love how Homer is so deadpan here, though.
Yeah.
We pay $8 for the night and you can take two popsicles out of the freezer.
Three.
Two.
Okay, two. And I get to keep this old birdcage.
Done.
Still get it.
I love how it's the swish of the tie as well. Yeah. Like,
he thinks he's won that exchange. Yeah. Homer literally doesn't budge on any of them.
And the two gals arrive at Shot Kickers.
I'll stop you there, Terry. We have our next clip of the evening.
Oof, coming thick and fast.
Thick and fast indeed. We'll be back after this.
Hey, baby. Feel like getting lucky?
I am lucky. I have a husband and three wonderful children. Thank you very much.
Listen, baby. I always get what I want.
I said no.
Oh, did you? Oh, I completely misunderstood. Please accept our apologies.
Always have been and always will be a huge fan of this clip. Oh, always brings a smile to my face. And like, first of all, I kind of remember it was like Willie on the
bull.
Buck and Bronco, yeah, whatever. And he's like, how come no one else's chair is doing this? but also, the guy comes over and is like, hey, baby. Feel like getting lucky.
The fact she doesn't even cop what's happening. Yeah. She's like, I am lucky.
Yeah. He's like, I always get what I want. He's like, oh, did you? Oh, completely misunderstood. And like, how he's like, he's bowing. The two of them are like curtsying as they're like backing away. Please accept our apologies.
Like, he's almost like just mortified with himself.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's something that like you do not expect it come like, you know, they've like, and that's a very good table setting, and then they pull the tablecloth off the table, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think
they also, like, to a lesser extent, I was watching Keenan and Kel yesterday.
Ooh.
And it was one where
which season?
Season 3, late season 3. And
picking up steam there. Is.
It's like Keenan has his hand in Mark's bag, and your man's like, hey, what are you doing in my backpack? And then it gets to the end. Yeah. And that's why I have my hand in your backpack. Oh, I see. What a delightful misunderstanding.
The big huge guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And, and I know this isn't a Keenan and Kel podcast, but I was absolutely
cracking. We should do a Keenan and Kel podcast. That's a Patreon one right there.
That'd be amazing. But where he's dressed up as Skunkador and the kid's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And he gets down on one knee. He's like, looky here, idiot. He gets so annoyed. You breathe
number four.
Looky here, idiot.
I love that. You breathe number four.
Or even just yesterday where he works at that, you know, as the executive vice president, and where Kel's trying to figure out what they do, and he just grabs your man's hand who's drinking water. He's like, hey! He's like, oh, I'm sorry, let me get that. Hey, what do we do here? Like, your man was up. So funny.
Oh, anyway. There's nothing better than than some like a couple of like idiots pratfalling around for...
So it's such a good watch. Coming soon.
Yeah. So Homer rambles on down to Moe's and he feels sometimes you gotta go where everybody knows your name. Hey guys! And it is maybe Duffless was more depressing
Deadbeat
looking.
Ali.
Moe's was. It's just, oh, like everybody's like slumped over. Like imagine. Normally they're kind of sitting up at the bar and there's a bit of chatter or whatever. Now it's just like they're all slumped over their drinks. They're just like it's all alcoholics. It's just so depressing. Yeah. And we're only there for a little bit because we're straight back over to the Simpson house and we're going to start jumping around a little bit. But they're watching L.A. Law, Lionel Hutz and the kids. And I love Lionel Hutz. Like, oh, yeah, sure. Like lawyers work in big skyscrapers and have secretaries. Look at him. He's wearing a belt. That's Hollywood for you.
Hang on 1 second, Terry. I heard some noise falling. I'm going to investigate.
That sounds like a pig fainting.
Hello, for fuck's sake. Right. She's fine. Excuse me, everybody. I don't know what that bloody cat's up there. Anyway, excuse me.
She's up to 90, mate.
Where were we?
So, we are over to... So next, we're over to the underground club, The Hate Box. I like this. You're one who comes over to Marge with the giant, like, wedge purple hair.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think your hair is a bit much? And then Otto comes over. Notice that he's still wearing his headphones in the club.
I think they're just a staple. I don't know if I've ever seen it without them.
But he wants Mrs. Simpson to try one of these smart drinks. Oh, wow, I've wasted my life.
Bear Quimby all body painted up as well.
Did you get this reference?
I did not, of course.
I think it's supposed to be, because he's here with his nephews. It's supposed to be Senator Ted Kennedy.
What did he do?
He's just like, or basically all the... After Robert and John F. Kennedy, basically all their, like, maybe not John F. Kennedy Jr., but kind of all the, for lack of a better term, lesser Kennedys or, like, the entitled, you know.
Yeah.
They basically were just, like, giant party animals.
Oh, right.
Yeah, like, Ted Kennedy was, like, booze hound and...
Oh, right.
I think he drove his car... He drove his car... off a bridge with a girl in it, and she ended up dying or something like that. Like, because he was like locked. Kappa Quidditch, I think, was the name of the place. But
oh boy.
Yeah, oh boy. And nice little couple of gags flying at us quickly here. Homer is reading Jet in the Quickie Mart, and he promptly gets booted out because it is not a library. Cut to library, he is booted out with a bunch of food. It is not a Quickie Mart. Very good. So we are, I guess we're in the backwoods somewhere. And
now, let me stop you there, Terry, because, you know, the scene, people probably remember it in that, you know, they start shooting the cans or whatever. Now, I have a big issue with the way they ended this joke. And I don't know if it's something that they had to cut or something like that, but like, or if it's a reference to something else, but like, Marge shoots the cans or whatever. She's like, I hate it. And then your man comes over in his pajamas, you know, my cans, my precious antique cans. It's like, I think, all right, good, he's going to say something funny. And then he's like, oh, look what you've done to him. And it sort of just falls flat for me. Is that, like, am I missing something?
It's a reference to an actor, and the actor is Walter Brennan, who is an old Western style actor,
right,
from the 30s and 40s, I guess. But he's the only man to win an Academy Award 3 times for Best Supporting Actor. But, yeah, I guess if you get it, you get it. I actually quite just like it because of my cans, my antique cans.
Yeah, I love the start of it. My precious antique cans.
But you're right, then. It kind of just... He's like, ah, look what you've done to him. And then it's just there in the car. Oh, yeah. We should call it a night or whatever.
That's that. Yeah.
I like how when she brings Ruth up to the Springfield sign or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a flashback to their dates, Homer and Marge as kids. And like, what I liked about the clip was how he went from like smashing up the weather station to like, you got real pretty hair. And like, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, kind of like. I was thinking like, oh, all right. Got really seedy very quickly there. Like,
and then as they're looking, which Springfield looks a lot, looks like L.A. or something in the view.
Yeah.
And Marge's like, there's an awful lot of black smoke coming from the chimney. And then, like, just Lionel Hutz in his loungewear is I don't know why, funny to me. It's like, as of this moment, Lionel Hutz no longer exists. Say hello to Miguel Sanchez.
I love that, like, how he hits the word Sanchez. Yeah. Sanchez! And Ruth says that she should probably get home to her daughter before that naked talk show comes up. So I like this. They drive off, and then Homer. And I have to say, if he walked it, that's a fair old trek.
It is a fair trek.
It's up to the old makeout place. He's about to bash in the new weather station when he decides against it. And then we get, and this is like, I kind of forgot, but it's because like, it's kind of like a. 3 main characters, really, and then you're kind of cutting back to like Lionel Hutz and the kids, and then they like really fold Wiggum into the story quite seamlessly.
Yeah,
like I thought it was quite well done, where it's just like, ah, there's nothing like moonshine from your own still. Like, he's out there being a corrupt cop or whatever. Like, you know,
I quite liked where they went with Homer and Wiggum in this,
like, me too. Like,
you know, their little sort of little buddy
adventure.
I'd like to have seen more of that.
But like, I this is a weird sort of joke from Wiggum here, where he's like, you know, Homer says his wife's having a girls' night out. He's like, just get one of those inflatable women, but just make sure it's a woman though, because one time. Yeah, come on, I'll give you a ride home.
One time what?
Yeah, Officer and Wiggum. What was it like?
He obviously got the male inflatable, but I mean, what's he? Then what?
Yeah, you obviously see if it's a male, like, unless he likes.
Some questions don't need answering.
Yeah, and I like the reason for the whole chase. It's like, the left taillight's a little smaller than the right. Better pull him over.
And I like the fact that, like, then, okay, the car is stolen. And so they get themselves like a good old-fashioned high-speed chase. Whereas, again, the good sort of full circle of he intentionally is playing Sunshine Lollipops.
But, like, I like how when he's singing along, like Homer is, like, real, like, morose looking in the back seat. He's lying down, and he's like, rainbows, everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Then Homer's just like, brighter than a lucky penny when you're near. Yeah. Rain clouds disappear and I feel so fine.
Like, you know, you've quite the voice.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, it's in our Bill's house. Fred's house. So basically, Ruth tells Marge that, you know, she mentioned the ex-husband was behind on child support. Well, she stole his car. And she said, didn't you realize all you had to do was report him to the police? And we get a bit of, I don't know, it's supposed to be like badass or whatever. We're very much in the Thelma and Louise part of the episode now, but it's that like deadpan Marge, you're the level-headed friend I never had.
what I like, it was just a very simple visual gag of just Homer imagining Marge, or no, like hearing the details and just imagining this weird alien creature or whatever. And they go over a speed bump and it all just slots back into place.
Really well done. Yeah. Like, and I like how he's like, it's Marge, she's become a crazed criminal just because I didn't take her to the ballet. It's
yeah.
Like, that's exactly how Dillinger got started. It's like,
really?
Like, he's so interested then, like, oh, really?
I love, like, the big thing that I love about this whole scene is just the bond almost between Homer and Wiggum.
And Wiggum, yeah.
Like, even the, you know, even at the very end, where he's like, there are ghost cars all over these highways, you know? You know, like, two kids, like, hold me.
Hold me, yeah. But, like, it's a pairing that you don't see on their own too often.
Yeah,
like, just really Homer works. And Wiggum. Away, and it's away from everything else. They're not in Springfield.
Yeah.
They're on the, like, back, the desert roads or whatever, and it's just the two of them. It's really works, I think.
Yeah,
I agree. Two versions of the characters, like, but I do know how it's like, he's like, oh, I'll just lose the cops, I'll let you out. He's like, I don't think it's going to be that easy. I mean, he's a professional lawman. Yeah. Just to, like, oh my God, it's a ghost car.
That's all it takes.
And they're just like screeching skids in the middle of the road, like.
Excellent.
So we pull up to the Seething Sisters. And basically, they're saying their goodbyes. Ruth is putting some gas in the tank, and he says, "You gotta admit, we did have fun. Marge is a good friend." And then she goes in to
call a cab, I guess.
Yeah, but she goes into the diner, and it's very well done. Like that, it's something you would see in a film that, like. And it probably was in Thelma and Louise. I haven't seen it in many a year. Right. No. I remember Brad Pitt was in it.
Yeah. Sex scene with him and, what you call her?
Gina Davis?
Gina Davis.
Or Susan Sarandon.
I remember that very well, aged 14. Ooh.
Wow. You sick freak. but, like, the fact that it's like, what'd you say, the cross-country flight from the law would be hell if we didn't stick together. And it's like, oh, friends stick together. It's like the next two people are like, oh, it's amazing how through all this adversity we managed to stick together. If it's one thing decent folks do,
it's stick together.
And it's like, that waitress, like, I hate it when the waffles stick together.
Sticking together is what good waffles do.
And I love that, like, little voice of, like, you know,
because
like,
that's good the
waffles
one.
Do.
The sticking, first of all, it's the voice, but, like, the sticking together is what good waffles do is just that one more time that
perfect.
Makes it funnier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's
the rule of three in comedy.
Like, you're chuckling away, but you think it's that one extra one that sort of puts the joke over, I think.
It's like the first two are something you would see in the film.
Yeah.
And then it's the third one. It's like, it's the same thing, but it's more ludicrous. Like, and so we get a bit of sirens coming, and everybody. I love how everybody in the diner is in the same situation as Ruth and Marge.
Yeah.
They all run out when they hear it coming.
They all scare.
But
me.
I don't know what, you know. I have a thing for like one-time voices in The Simpsons. The guy who runs out after it's revealed that it's Kearney with the siren on his head.
Yeah.
But the guy who runs out, like, you stupid kid. You know that scares away all my customers.
See you in a mile, loser.
I love the... Yeah, first of all, what's Kearney doing? Like, he's cycling this far out
Has
at
he
like
got
6
better
o'clock
to
in
do?
The morning. Like, doesn't he have kids? Like, but I love that voice. I'm like, you stupid kid.
Yeah. So it's one time voices.
Something out of South Park. Because
they stand out, like.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just go to the house, next to the house with no numbers.
I love that guy.
One says here that you picked the dog up by the hind legs and drove him around like a vacuum cleaner. This is the 10th grade. Nevertheless, it's in here in your permanent record.
Does it count? Your man, the film producer, when they're making the movie in Springfield.
That's like the two. You're fired.
Yeah. Mr. Simpson. I like the fact that then, like, the next scene is just, again, Homer and Wiggum just frying eggs on the engine of the car.
If we can keep these down, we'll be sitting pretty.
And they just zoom past, like, that's them.
Quiet, I can't hear the eggs. But I love how, like, he's cooking the eggs knowing that there's a very high probability that they're going to be sick from eating these eggs. Like,
yeah.
So then we're back at the house, and the kids and love Lionel this. Hutz are there. First of all, I just love the look of Lionel Hutz here. Like, and they go to, like, wake him up, and it's like the blade opens. Don't touch my stuff.
He's got the blade at the ready. Like. And the fact that they made a point of, like, don't worry, Mr. Hutz is still here to take care of us.
He's like, this isn't the YMCA. But you could do a whole episode on, like, just the kids and Lionel Hutz.
Yeah.
Like, you could do, like, remember that in South Park where it was, like, the meteor shower episode?
Yeah.
It was, like, each one of the kids. It was all in the house. So it was, like, one was, I think it was Stan was at the house party in the meteor shower.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Cartman was doing on his one. And then it was, like, Kenny and Kyle were at, like, Jew camp or something like that. But it was, like, all set. Three different episodes set at the same time.
Yeah.
You could do definitely a separate episode of, like, because, like, the fact, like, why does he, what, so many questions, like, why is he going, what was the psychotic break that he had that he was, like, started to throw away all his stuff and, like, all shed sudden, his identity? Like,
like, did he, like, all of a sudden he just happens to have been wondering why, and now he's looking after the kids, brandishing a knife and all, burning his files. Like,
I mean, that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just great.
Brilliant.
And then we're back in the car with Wiggum, and it's like, this is Chief Wiggum back in pursuit of the rebelling women. My current location, though, I'm on a road. Looks to be asphalt. Oh, geez. Trees, shrubs. I'm directly under the Earth's sun now.
Now, let me stop you right there, Terry. We have our final clip of the evening before we proceed. So we will play it and come back.
We now interrupt this program for a special bulletin.
We've just received word of a high-speed desert chase. The suspects have been identified as Ruth Powers and Marge Simpson of Springfield.
Cool. I always knew someday Mom would violently rise up and cast off the shackles of our male oppressors.
Eh, shut your yap.
At the risk of editorializing, these women are guilty and must be dealt with in a harsh and brutal fashion. Otherwise, their behavior could incite other women, leading to anarchy of biblical proportions. It's in Revelations, people!
So we talked about in our last episode how we played a clip of Kemp Brockman from season 12 of how he was good.
Yeah.
And we talked about how pretty much every time you get Kemp Brockman, it's gold.
Yeah.
And really, it rings true here.
Yeah.
Like,
especially just like, in the season.
He reminds me of, like, Fraser Crane or something like that. Like, really, he's a well-spoken man. He's like, even though, like, at the risk of editorializing, these women are guilty and must be dealt with in a harsh and brutal fashion. Otherwise, their behavior could incite other women, leading to anarchy of biblical proportions. It's in Revelations, people.
And they're so quick and to I cut love, them off.
Yeah, but I love how the technical difficulties, you know, sometimes it's like the dog is out pulling out the TV.
Yeah.
This one, it's like he's in a straitjacket. There's a cuckoo coming out of his head. Like,
it's like the fact that they have that at the ready.
Yeah,
not only they have ready him been ready to cut so early, but they have that image at the ready as well. Like, Brockman's done it again.
So we're kind of coming up to the end here, and it's only 2 miles from the state line. We're gonna make it. We're gonna be okay. And then we get, and I'm loving the music here as well. It's that, like, very much
big.
Late 80s, early 90s sort of, like,
the golden era of action and thrillers.
No. But it wouldn't, or, like, even, it wouldn't be out of place in like Ace Ventura, which I just watched recently. That sort of like,
there's a lot of sort guitar, of like wailing guitar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the image of the cars coming up over the hill and all. Like,
it's deadly. Like,
as the sun is sort of rising, whatever. It looked really good. I think I was reading this again, that they were that sunrise, sorry, was airbrushed in later or something like that. Or something.
I read that because it wasn't ready.
Yeah.
We get to the point where Ruth's about to give up and Marge is like, oh, it's not over till it's over, and turns the car. And I like how she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I should have asked first. Chief Wiggum was like, oh no, they're headed for the Grand Canyon. And it's like, first of all, like, you've never heard anything before or since, really. Like, it's normally Springfield Gorge is the big one. Like, awesome. It's like the fact that it, like, you know exactly what they're talking about though.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's great. Like,
The Grand Chasm.
Yeah.
And I like the fact, and apparently another interesting fact, when Homer takes the megaphone or whatever, Dan Castellaneta, I can never pronounce the surname, Die Hard Simpsons podcast, he actually did the line like through a megaphone himself. That wasn't sort of like added in, which a lot of them do. He did it.
I did read that. the stuff he says to her, like, about the time he tried to make gravy in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Or the time he used her wedding dress to wash the car.
Yeah.
To wax the car. Yeah. Even, like.
I kind of liked the apology though. You know?
Yeah, that was great. Like,
the fact that the first thing he goes to is, I tried to make gravy in the bath. I'm sorry about the time I tried to make gravy in the bathtub. Like, that's obviously a big contentious issue. Like, that's the first
thing. He's had it at the front of his mind.
Yeah.
And then they get. But it's like, I love it. It's like, don't drive into that chasm. And then they realize they haven't actually seen it in front of them. They slam on the brakes. And then Homer and Wiggum just fly past them.
Yeah.
I remember being like, as a kid, I was like, oh, whoa. Like, oh no. And then it's like, it's like a giant landfill. Really, really great joke. Yeah. And like, just some good commentary on how, like, wasteful Americans are.
And I think those idiot environmentalists were protesting this landfill.
Solid waste. I could kiss you.
Like, he kisses it so many times and he's like, ugh. Like, the fifth time, he still keeps going. Like, it was pizza. Yeah.
But, like, how his face gets incrementally dirtier. So, like.
And who, like, in the next scene where it sort of sums up the characters.
This is Dragnet.
Oh.
That's how Dragnet used to end it. Like.
I'm showing myself up tonight.
And I like how it's all tied in, how Root's husband's lawyer is Lionel Hutz, a.k.a. Miguel Sanchez, a.k.a. Dr. Nguyen Van Thock.
He was paid $8 for his 32 hours of babysitting.
He was it works out at like 25 cents.
Yeah. And he was glad to get it. Like, how down on his luck is he?
Well, I like this as well. Like, first of all, like how Marge is looking like throughout the whole episode, she's the risk averse person.
Yeah.
At the end, she's like there smoking a cigarette. And it's like she's charged with a violation of Penal Code Section 18A.
$2,000.
Yeah. Impunitive damage and mental anguish. Well, you one shot four of the cans, didn't that pay anything?
Yeah.
And Homer is reprimanded to the custody of the United States Neurochemical Research Center at Fort Meade, Maryland for extensive testing. Woo! And that is her.
Boom. Terry? Shall we get into ratings?
Ratings!
Well, Terry,
ooh,
let me ask you, what did you make of this
episode? Let me be honest with you, Andy. I love it!
I knew that was coming. I knew that exact delivery was coming as well.
I fucking loved it for the last two episodes, especially the last one, how excruciating it was.
It was, yeah.
Going through a season 12 episode.
I was shocked by how
to
bad
be back
it was.
In the warm embrace of season 5. And what an episode from season 5.
Yeah.
It's perfect storytelling, or near perfect, in that, like, they start off with a story about Homer and Marge and how she kind of feels underappreciated, and then that gradually moves into her meeting Ruth.
Yeah.
And then Homer getting a bit jealous or whatever like that. Like, so that's the one sort of main storyline.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they're able to sort of sprinkle in, like, oh, you know, something's going to have to... Logically, you can't just leave the kids on their own.
Yeah.
So bringing in, like, somebody from the bench of, like, characters, like Lionel Hutz.
Yeah,
why Lionel Hutz? But, like, why we pick him? I don't know why. It's an inspired choice.
I agree, yeah.
Like it kind of doesn't make any sense, but that's what's so funny about it. So, like,
what's he doing?
And then... So you can keep sort of cutting away. It's not so much that they have their own secondary story, even. That, like...
It's good to break up the...
It just peppers it up, like, with, you know, some good stuff. And then, like, we're talking about bringing in somebody for Homer to play off, because he's on his own for a lot of it. Bringing in Wiggum, who is in fine form. He's not
to the point
of... It's like Wiggum...
Wiggum... And Homer, they have just the right level of stupidity to sort of match each other, you know what I mean? Like, they both are on, like, the same level, almost, of, like, you know, mentally. So, it's like, I think that's why they get on so well, like, you know, they're...
But, like, Wiggum's not quite grating yet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's not, like, you know, he's still... He's not so stupid or pathetic that, like... That he gets in later seasons, that he's still, like, sort of quirky and funny, like, you know, like the whole thing. Like, the fact that, like, you're first introduced to him, like, drinking moonshine, you know, is.
Yeah, Wiggum's good. Awesome.
Yeah, he's very good. And just the whole. It's a great story.
Yeah, it is. It feels big.
It does feel big. It's cinematic. And, like, forgiven Marge. Like, a marriage-centric episode, for me, I would be, like, kind of low on the list. But it really, really works. Her relationship with Ruth really, really works. And it is a shame that, like, you don't see anything really again from her. Like, because she's a character that, like, they play off well together. Like,
Well, let me ask you. Would she make your MVP? Or who does make your MVP?
My MVP is, I think I'm going to go with
Chief Wiggum.
Homer.
Oh, Homer. All right.
I'm loving a lot of Homer this week. I'm loving the green jacket and some of the deliveries of, like, I like that whole thing. It's like, you do need a babysitter.
Yeah.
Like, that's twice now, Marge. Like, he has a lot of good sort of deliveries. Here you go. No.
Well, what would you give it out of 10? Can I be so bold to ask?
I would give it a high one. I would give it an 8.8.
Oh, boy.
Very happy.
That
seems like you're pretty high on it.
That's your second highest rank of the season so far, if I may say.
Was Rosebud the highest?
Episode 4, was that Rosebud?
That was Rosebud, yeah.
Yeah,
and
you
I
gave
think
that a nod.
I would agree that would probably be
my
rating so far. That would be my top 2.
Well, for this
what about you?
I do.
Are you high?
I do agree. I really enjoyed it. I liked the story. I love the relationship between Homer and Wiggum. I love all the pairings off that they had. You know, Marge and Ruth is, you know, it's fine. It's not not, you know, chock full of laughs, but it's good for the story, you know. And I liked Hutz and the kids. My only criticism of this episode is I would have liked to have seen more of Hutz and like as a babysitter looking after the kids. I feel like they could, like you said, they could have a whole episode on just that alone. But I mean, all in all, it was a big story. You know, you pretty much covered it in a lot of your points. That it's just, you know, it was just really well done. If you are asking me who my MVP, is, I would say it's Wiggum.
Yeah, Wiggum.
And I wouldn't have thought I'd have given it to Wiggum, or given him an MVP in an episode, but he was really a great asset to this episode, and it was a very good choice to have him, you know. My rating, now that is an interesting
one. I'm interested.
I would give it an 8.1 out of 10, which is my...
It's pretty low.
No, 8.1 out of 10. That's 81%. That's a B. I was going to say minus.
So. Yeah, but it's like a B plus, like.
A B. Yeah, it's a B plus. B plus is fair.
No.
The only episodes that have topped it is Homer's Barbershop Quartet and Rosebud. Oh. And okay, look, I'm going to give a different score because... in the context of the other episodes, I do rate this one quite high.
Because you're an idiot.
I'll give it an 8.4. All right.
What's your highest rating so far?
8.8.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm up there. It was just in the third episode, I gave it a 6.8, and you gave it an 8.4. Yeah. I can't remember which one that was. What was the third one?
Third one was... Wasn't Homer Goes to College, was it?
I don't know. But anyway.
I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you.
It was Homer Goes to College, yeah. 6.8, jeez, I did give
you
that a low mark.
Maroon.
I was at my brother's wedding there before Christmas, and two of my cousins, both listeners of the show, hello Yusuf and Newman, they couldn't believe that I gave that episode such a low
6.8
seems harsh,
ludicrous,
to be fair. But this
would
one,
you like to change your
well I can't change
score of it.
No I would not. But this one gets
ignorant slut.
This one gets a big thumbs up from me. Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, what do we got coming next time?
Next episode is season 5, episode 7, Bart's Inner Child.
Yes.
Which one happens in this one?
I'm excited.
Is this the...
it's Brad Goodman.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, perfect. That's a great one. Brilliant.
Yes.
Really getting into the,
so,
into the
shall...
meat of it now.
Yeah, we sure are. Shall we get our plugs in?
Let's do it, since it is approaching midnight on a work night.
I'm off tomorrow.
You son of a bitch. Hey, let's
off
do the podcast Tuesday. Wednesday. just a pawn in your little game.
off till Tuesday. Going to Belgium tomorrow. Man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it might be snowing over there.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, for me, huh?
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find us on Twitter at Put It in H Podcast. You can find us on Facebook at Put It in H Podcast.
No, that's Twitter again.
No, not officially at Put It in H, but just type in Put It in H Podcast into Facebook, and you'll find us. Right.
Put an H, a diehard Simpsons podcast.
Yeah. What he said.
You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com.
You can find us on basically anywhere you listen to things. Android, Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict.
iTunes is probably the big one, guys.
Yes.
Andy is always going on about this, but this is me here from reaching out to you from the bottom of my heart. If you can give us a review, it really helps spread the word. Like we said before, it's like five-star reviews.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like five-star ratings. Like, if you can give us a review, it helps so much.
It does. Pushes us up. I got a taste of us being in the charts that one time. And I think we got a couple of reviews that week, and it really, and we got, you know, that combined with the listens or whatever, it does have an effect on where we are. I would love to see us in the top. The top 200.
I should never have got married. We shouldn't have taken that hiatus. I should have rode that wave.
I shouldn't have stopped for that haircut. But I know that was a while ago. But so yeah, what he said, 5-star rating would be tremendous.
Well, that about wraps it up for us here. I'm going to let you go and get some sleep.
Thank you.
You look awful.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're most welcome. until next time, folks, keep on trucking.
Sure.
Sure.